Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to today's segment of the A New Day Radio Show. I am your host, Dynamic Daphne, and I'm super excited, as always, to be on this broadcast with you. I have a very special guest on that has been hanging out with me in the virtual green room to invest in your life. And I tell you, it's a blessing because last night I had this amazing lady on my TV show as well. So she invested in my viewers last night, and she is investing in you, my listeners, today. And I am so blessed to have her on the show. But before I bring her on, I want to remind you that you are welcome to be part of the conversation. And for those of you who can call in, I encourage you to do that by calling in 646-915-8166. And if you are at work, I really don't want you to jeopardize your job, but if you can do so cautiously, I really encourage you to call in. And for those in the chat room, I welcome your presence. I want to encourage you to get your pads or journals on your pens and paper, because you will be receiving a wealth of information that you can utilize in your life, or you can put away in your toolbox for when the time arrives that you want to use it. So again, the number to call in is 646-915-8166. I only have one phenomenal guest on today, and boy, is she going to be worth your while to listen to. So now, without any further delay, I want to welcome my honored guest, and I want to introduce and present to you, my listeners from across the world, my distinguished, honored guest, Mrs. Phyllis Boutner, who is a successful businesswoman here in Connecticut. She's the owner of Connecticut Kitchen, but she's also a public figure because she is the wife of the Honorable Mayor Mark Boutner in the city of Danbury, Connecticut. But however, she's not here today in that capacity. She's here today to just let the world know about who she is and what her brand is. So I want to welcome Phyllis to the show. Phyllis, welcome, and thank you for carving out this time to spend with me this morning.
Daphne, I'm so excited to be on your show and to be in your company. You're so exciting and full of good energy, and I'm really excited to be a part of the show.
I tell you, I have, and I'm not going to say I've known you. I'm going to say I have been seeing you for many years from a distance. And then I was blessed to be in your presence at an event you did some months ago. It was your Customers Appreciation Day. And then, thank God for Facebook, we became friends on Facebook. And thanks to the Spirit, because a few months ago, the Spirit instructed me to reach out to you and to learn about it. Because, Phyllis, I am letting you know, I think I mentioned it last night, I knew you as the mayor's wife. I didn't know Phyllis. And then as I said to Mark at that event, I had no idea what Phyllis did. He says, yes, she does her own thing and does it very well. And last night, I began to scratch the surface because we invested quality time after that show. And I'm getting to know who you are. And, oh, what an honor, what a privilege, and what a blessing to really get to know who you are. So I am super as excited as you. We spent quality time last night. And as we began to turn the pages.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely think Dynamic Daphne is appropriate name for you. You're so... intriguing is the only word I can come up with. It's like I could spend morning, noon, and night just, you know, in your presence learning from you. And I feel equally blessed, to be very, very frank.
Thank you. Because, you know, Phyllis, when we were talking after the show last night, and it's like we were reading each other's script because, you know, there are some things that I have been, that you have been, and I'm thinking, oh, my heavens, look at this.
Well, I think we both agree that life is a journey and a drama at the same time. And as long as you see the humor in life, you know, you roll with it and you get through the rough spots and you find out what the lesson was.
Oh, that's right. It's survival of the fittest. And, you know, it helps to strengthen our faith muscles, our spiritual muscles, and all of that. But before we get into the meat of the dialogue today, mm-hmm. I want to give you an opportunity to introduce Phyllis to the world.
Okay. Well, let's see. Phyllis Boughton is a person who, I don't know, I would say my number one quality is perseverance. I've never been afraid to try different things. Mm. And I think Connecticut Kitchen and Bath is a result of that perseverance. Mm. I would say I'm a dynamic individual like yourself in that, you know, I believe in giving back, and I get involved with other movers and shakers who believe in that philosophy. I think a lot of times in life we use the term what comes around goes around in a negative mm-hmm. connotation. Mm-hmm. But I believe, you know, very strongly when you do good things, blessings come to you.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, it's like when I do something good, I get the bigger charge out of it. It's like
That's
seeing
right.
the person's face, their reaction to a certain situation, you know, just like little random acts of kindness really, you know, fuel me and charge me to, you know, want to continue on a very spiritual path. You know, although you're introducing me as a business person, I would say that, you know, I'm unique in the sense that I've merged my spirituality and my business practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very hard in today's world.
Yes.
Because, you know, a lot of times we're programmed to believe that if we want to succeed in business, we've got to be ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, you know, climb to the top. You know, you hear these expressions. So when you're, you know, as you grow in age and hopefully wisdom, you realize that that's not the path to success and true happiness. The real path to success and happiness is living true to your values and your virtues.
That's right. And knowing to whom you belong, because we are here as a soul. And when we understand that, then we value each moment, each interaction,
and each relationship,
opportunity that we get to present or to be positioned in a relationship. Because, you know, we are all standing on the shoulders of our ancestors. So they have paved the way for us. And because we were created as masterpiece, there's no need to be ruthless.
No.
And, you know, people, if they just take the time to step back and be still and to get into learning, because there's so much to learn if you carve the time out and to get the information, it is there for you. But I think a lot of people are so programmed to tradition and anything that is outside of the norm that they don't know about, they tend to criticize instead of opening up themselves to learning.
Well, I think that's due to early programming, you know. I think, you know, when we're little, as we mentioned last night, I think Robert Fulghum did a great book, when Everything I Ever Learned, I Learned in Kindergarten, I think was the name of the book. But he tells this one story about children when they're, you know, in nursery school, and you ask them, who can do a backflip dive, triple somersault off the high dive? And everybody can will raise their hand. And then the next year you say, okay, who can, you know, run, you know, 200 miles and complete a race? And they're, you know, most of the children raise their hand. And as they progress through, you know, school, less and less children raise their hands, because our society has programmed us to believe unless we're an expert, we have no value.
That's right. And forget about when we become adult. We are so stripped of everything. You know, because instead of going to the source to find out about what we should be doing, we go to everyone else around us. And
right.
we tend to go to people who are not about anything. They haven't done anything themselves. And the last thing they want is to see you doing something.
Well, and I also think that, you know, unfortunately, organized religion has taken us away from our Creator, our Father. So we've lost the ability to communion directly with our Father, Mother, you know, Source, whatever you want to call it. And the truth is, you have to ask for assistance. You know, where, you know, God as our Father, you know, wants to be helpful. You know,
and
he wants to aid you in your journey. But you know
what?
We're born with free will. And unless we remember to ask, he can't intercede in our lives.
Exactly. You know, last night we even had that conversation. You know, people are standing by and they're saying, oh, we are waiting on God. And a lot of times I said, what are you waiting on God to hit you with a 3x4?
Yeah.
He has already implanted in you. And, you know, I strongly believe until you take action, you are getting no more. So
right.
you need to take action, ask for guidance, ask for clarity where things seem a little fuzzy.
Right.
And then you get more. But he gives you one piece of the puzzle and you sit down and you put it in an envelope and you seal it up and you're still waiting on him. Use that piece. Lay it out flat so you can get the next piece and see where it fits.
That's right. And you know what? You have to be observant and listen. I have a great little story. I've always been on a spiritual path. And, you know, like I said, I've always wanted to, you know, bring that spiritual element into my business and you know, allow the business to grow on its own with this spiritual element. And so I've always read, you know, every book I could get my hands on. And I've always, you know, I was in Mystic one day and I was in this bookstore. And this woman said to me, she says, you know, I don't know why. She was the owner of the bookstore. She says, I have this tattered brochure. She says, but I feel inclined to give it to you. Please excuse the shape of the brochure, but I feel like I need to give this to you. So she hands me this brochure on this place called Peace Village in Haines Falls, New York. And I look at it, and she says it's a free retreat center where they offer you spiritual wisdom. It's non-denominational, but when I went there, I felt a lot of peace. And I feel like, you know, I don't know, I feel like I need to give this to you. And I said, wow, I really appreciate this. So I took this home, and I read about it, and I said, this sounds like a wonderful place. And more importantly, I liked it because it seemed that it was truly an altruistic place where there was no motive, because they weren't after donations or anything like that. They had different retreats were available, and if you wanted to give a donation, that was fine, but if you didn't, that was fine too. So I took the brochure, and, you know, as you know, Daphne, I'm very time-challenged. And ironically, a year went by, an entire year, and so it was it was Christmas time when I got the pamphlet, and a year later I'm thinking about it, and I go, wow, I never went to Peace Village. I hope I can find that brochure. I wonder what I did with it. So no sooner am I thinking this thought, and as you'd mentioned, my husband is the mayor of the city of Danbury. The Indian community in Danbury has always been supportive of my husband, and they were holding this program on a Sunday, which was called Building Bridges. So I thought to myself, you know, usually Sunday for me is a family day, and it's a day where I just kind of spend time with family and don't really get too involved, but this was a special event, and I said, you know what, I have to support these people. They've always supported me. So I carved this time out of my schedule, and it was a snowy, snowy day, and I said, I'm going anyway. So I get there, and I walk in, and right away you could feel the energy in this place. It was like you had about 200 people that were all positive and wanting to do good things, and they had this tree, a painting of a tree, and you were to walk in and pick a virtue. You know, whatever virtue or quality you wanted to work with, whether it was integrity, whether it was truth, honesty, and you would put it on the tree, and it was the tree of life. So then we walked in, and you know, the whole day was about the power of teamwork and cooperation, and that, you know, we can do more together by building bridges with people. So at the end of the program, I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to definitely, and actually Danbury Children's First was there as well. So at the end of the program, they have this woman come up on stage, and they start going over her credentials. And ironically, it was Sister Kala from Peace Village. So, you know, that goes back to our point of, okay, you can ask, but you need to be observant and listen, because you're not going to get anything more until you take that step. Right there and then I knew God was like banging me over the head, and he's like, okay, you asked for this a year ago. You're still asking me for more help. I've given you this. But it just shows the patience and tolerance of God, you know, because no matter what path you take, he's always patient and loving and kind.
Still standing there with his arms outstretched to embrace you. He never said, what took you so long? He never said, you had me waiting so long.
Well,
he just embraced us. Yes.
You know, if you have a child, imagine for a year your child is begging you for something, and you've given it to him that first day. Imagine that amount of patience. It's amazing.
It floored me last night when you said, "You Peace Village." I said, what? I have never known anybody beside a friend of mine here that I took to Peace Village with me. And I know the Patels and a few more people. And I said, God, I'm so happy that I was obedient when you instruct me to reach out. Because who would have known when you said, no, I go by myself and I'm looking. I went by myself for years. I would jump in my car and I drove up there. And I go, and you talk about the peace. Oh, my heavens. That was when I began going to Peace Village, was when I understood about my true spirituality. And you know, I don't have to depend on anybody else other than going through the source. And I understand that how scared people were, because when you come back into the real world,
mm-hmm.
and begin sharing with people your experience, they are so scared, you know. You can see people getting all flustered and everything because they don't understand. And they begin to criticize. And I love pastors. I have a lot of friends who are pastors, and I'm not hitting and I'm not bashing them. However, we owe it to ourselves to find spiritual food and spiritual guidance that is best suited for us. Because a lot of times people treat spirituality and religion like politics. They just go for what their forefathers did and their grandparents and, mm-hmm. and all of that. And it comes a time when you got to seek for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look on how it used to be. You got to look and see the value it has brought into your life and question the people, question the motive, and make sure it's in line with who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It is supporting your values and your morals. Don't just go for it because somebody says.
Well, that's the thing, is that we've been given certain powers. The soul has certain powers, and what you're speaking about is the power of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, there's a good story that they utilize. There was a king in ancient India, and there were two women fighting over a baby. And he's like, who is the mother? And they're both saying, I am, I am. Okay, so he says, you know what? Cut the baby in half. And then all of a sudden, the one mother says, no, give her the baby. He says, no, you're to have the baby. So,
wow.
You know, you really have to look and use the power of discernment.
That's
to
right.
See, you know, what the actual truth in every situation is. And not to jump to any conclusions, but to use,
right.
you know, the gifts you've been given.
That's right. That's
you
right,
know?
Because we were all given gifts. I think it was Sunday, a friend of mine, Michael Kay, I met him here on Blog Talk, and Michael and I, we were in a conversation, and he was mentioned, I was live on the radio, and he was saying to me, you know, a lot of times, the tools that we have in our tool shed,
mm-hmm.
because after we get to a certain age in life, we no longer have a toolbox or a tool kit. It becomes a tool shed because we have acquired so many tools. And we're talking about a lot of the tools in that shed. It's not for us, but it is for us to give to others to use.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are oftentimes, I find out in my life, there are times when I give tools to people to use and they use it and oftentimes return it to me to put back.
Right.
To invest in somebody else's life. And
mm-hmm.
we got to go out there and let things happen. Let
right.
things happen for you and for the people around you,
mm-hmm.
knowing that people are scared, and you got to stay true and stay faithful to that which has brought value to you and
right.
help to mentor others onto that path as well.
And by the way, leave the ego on the shelf.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah. Put it way back on the shelf.
Yes.
Because as you grow on this path, you're going to find out that there's no room for ego. There's no need for it.
No.
Because when we know that we are authentically and uniquely created for the purpose that we were designed for, we don't need any all that fluff up stuff, and there's no need for it.
No,
you
and that's the
on.
Trick. You know, it's figuring out what moves you, what
that's
really
right.
you know excites you, what you enjoy doing, and also understanding your weaknesses and working on those so that you become a balanced individual.
I want to stick a pin right there. I want to take a commercial break and
sure.
take a sip of water, and I want to encourage the people before I go, listen, you must call in. You must call in. Phyllis is phenomenal. She'll answer your questions and everything. So call in 646-915-8166.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
All right, and again, we are on live with Phyllis Boughton. Phyllis is the owner of Connecticut Kitchen here in Connecticut, in the city of Danbury. Listen, you must join in live now and listen to her. I call in 646-915-8166. And I also want to ask you guys to visit our fan page, the Vision Weekend Conference on Facebook. Mark our show favorite as well, the New Day Show. Follow me on Twitter and on Facebook, and join me on LinkedIn as well. I'm looking to build a community and to have you on my mission if you want. You know, I'm on a mission of changing this world by transforming one life at a time. So why won't you join me? I want to remind you about the Vision Weekend Conference that is coming up in New York City in March of 2012. It is going to be off the hook. And for those of you who have never been to New York City, listen, you don't want to miss the conference. So, again, I want to encourage you to join us in the chat room. I want you to call in 646-915-8166. All right. So, we are back with Phyllis Boughton, the owner of Connecticut Kitchen in Danbury. So, Phyllis, as a successful businesswoman, and when you get with other business gathering, and you let the depth of your spirituality be known, how is that accepted with your peers?
You know, I think in today's world, people are more receptive. I think given the state of the world right now, mm-hmm. people are open to new ways of thinking, and they see the transformation in me. And so they say, what are you doing that's different? You know, it's obviously working for you. And so then, you know, you see what people are, you know, where they're at. You know, you mm-hmm. kind of do an assessment, and mm-hmm. you kind of share what you feel is most appropriate at that point in time. But mm-hmm. like I said, I think given the state of the world, I think, you know, we talked last night out of, you know, every situation has a hidden benefit, mm-hmm. and I believe that, you know, given, you know, the poor economic times, it's really, really forced our country to look at family values. People are spending more times in communion with one another, mm-hmm. having more family gatherings. So, you know, even though it can be perceived as a negative, there's some positive things that came out of this recession, double-dip recession.
That's right. And people, basically, it's not new. People are just going back to basics.
They're going back to basics.
Because
and they're what we're calling is cocooning. But they're looking at, you know, ways to, you know, entertain more economically. They're staying home. They're creating, you know, a better home environment, you know, outdoor spaces. Their kitchen, you know, as we know, is now and has always been the heart of the home, but they're making it more of a great room experience where they're, you know, taking down walls, they're reallocating and repurposing space so that, you know, they're not having to build an addition, but they're looking at the how frequently space is used, and they say, you know, for the few times we're using a formal dining room, let's take out that wall and let's, you know, let's have more of an open floor plan so that when we
That's
have
right.
people over, it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am sure your business is so rewarding to you because I know over the years you and your company has helped to transform the lives of many family. Because when I was at your customer appreciation day, I listened to a lot of your customers in different conversations, and You know, one lady said, if you have a studio apartment, Phyllis will put a kitchen in there that will blow your mind. And that is to show that it doesn't have to be an exorbitant space. It's what you have, you utilize it. And as I read on your website where you said, a lot of your creation is done because you listen to the client. You listen to what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And you are there to help them. And I think that's what a lot of businesses is lacking.
Well, I think I remember at all times I'm here to serve.
Yes.
And I think when we go with the servant's mentality, you know, people can sense when you're authentic. And, you know, everyone that works here at Connecticut Kitchen and Bath is very sensitive to that. So when a client walks into the showroom, they become a part of the Connecticut Kitchen and Bath family, truly, in the sense that, you know, I take it to the extent that I envision them walking into my home and what that experience is like. So everything from the scent in the air to the temperature to the displays, as well as, you know, how they're feeling in the space. I mean, when we're designing a kitchen, we do a consultation that can take a few hours. Mm-hmm. So people get thirsty, they get hungry. So, you know, we provide a children's play area. We offer people, you know, snacks, whole fresh baked cookies that we do daily, coffee, tea, spring water, lemonade, iced tea in the summer months. You know, but it's all about expressing our love for humanity and really letting people know that we care. And it's not about selling them a cabinet. They can go anywhere and buy cabinets.
Anywhere can go and buy a cabinet. Yeah, but the service is not always there. And when an individual realizes that you are interested in serving them and add value, they will spend money. So,
and build a relationship.
Relationship. Cheaper is not better.
Right.
You should go enter into any situation looking to build a relationship. And after you build the relationship, then you are going to get the person's business. That's the bottom line. A lot of people think, the cost. No. Invest in the relationship. And you will not have to worry about the cost of the product. Because people know that, she cares about me. She cares about the comfort of my child while we discuss something, you know.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, like, I remember early on when I was in my early 20s buying my first car, I would go into an automobile showroom and they'd say, you can have this car for as little as, and now I'm dating myself, for like $150 a month. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, oh, wow, I can afford that. So then I'd get as far as the business manager, or, you know, negotiate the price. Then all of a sudden, by the time they put the undercarriage, blah, 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 the destination charge, this tax, that tax, all of a sudden that $150 a month was more like $230. So instead of saying to the guy, geez, I can't afford it, I sat there and I just said, you know what, I forgot my checkbook. I'll have to come back another day. And, you know, I just didn't have the courage to really say, you know what, I can't afford this. And so I wondered, you know, I take that mindset with me every day in the showroom, because when you look at my business from the exterior, it looks high-end, but I can assure you that we have product at every price point, whether it's stock cabinetry or full custom, everything's quality. However, with an experienced design team, we can put together some really, really nice looks and keep people within whatever budget. I mean, we've done kitchens for less than $5,000. And, of course, it depends on the size of the space. If you have a 20-by-20 kitchen and you're coating four walls, I really highly doubt you're going to get anything for less than $5,000, but, you know, everything's relative. And, you know, we actually, when we meet with people, we look to educate them. The other point I want to bring about is whatever you do in life, you know, whether it's your cleaning lady or your hairdresser, you have to find somebody who's truly passionate about what they're doing. So I always
tease and I say,
I want to find a cleaning lady who's not doing it as a job, but who's OCD and has found a way to make a living at what they
That's right.
they, uh, society deems as a personality flaw,
that's right?
Right?
That's right. That's right. But, you know, Phyllis, I want to go back. I want to go back because I remember when you were speaking at your Customer Appreciation Day,
yeah.
And you spoke about the beginning of that business. Let's go back there for a bit because you talk about looking from the exterior and now walking into that showroom that you know of. But it was not always like that.
No.
Do you mind sharing about, you know, when you started and what that building, the building you were in was like?
Sure. I mean, when I first started this business, there had been a few businesses. Now, mind you, we're in business in this location. We're in business close to 25 years, Connecticut Kitchen and Bath. But my physical location, which is the Danbury showroom, this November will be 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when we first took over the space, there had been two or three other kitchen and bath showrooms in this spot that had failed to make a go of it. But so we walked in, and it was like concrete floors, a couple of rickety displays, and some door samples. So what was nice is my landlord, who was the last owner of the business, I negotiated with him to just pay him, rent monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
in addition to that, slowly pay off the displays that were
mm-hmm.
in the space.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I had some old rickety office furniture and whatnot. But with that in mind, you know, I said, I had a vision for the business. I saw
That's
it.
Right.
I said, wow, this is great. This is mine. I love this. And so every year, you know, I would take the space and reallocate it and repurpose it myself, creating offices for the designer so that they could think clearly and not be distracted by customers like a home center environment where people are constantly, you know, invading your space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're designing, you really have to open up that right brain and be creative.
That's right.
So if you're
mm-hmm.
constantly distracted, it's not really a good environment for that. So, you know, every year we took the displays, and immediately when I walked in, I said, I'm going to decorate these displays because I realized people really don't have a vision to the way cabinets will look in their space. So I looked at each display and I said, oh, that's going to be my country kitchen. Oh, that's going to be my transitional kitchen. That's going to be my urban chic kitchen. So I defined my consumer and I developed displays based on that. And slowly over the years, we reinvested and reinvested. And I say we because actually my husband, Mark, started Connecticut Kitchen and Bath close to 25 years ago when he couldn't find a teaching job. And he started out of the cab of his truck, actually, and would deliver cabinets. So, you know, you got to be willing to do some sweat equity, I'll tell you
that's
that.
Right.
But, you
that's
know,
right. That's
roll
right.
Roll up your sleeves, you know. You got to do everything. You know, take the garbage out, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's
Windex
right.
the windows.
Oh, yes. Lord, do I know that. Yes.
You have to. You know, but
so
you know
as long as you stay true to the calling and the purpose, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You see the rainbow.
You see the rainbow, and you see, you say to yourself, you know what? I'm enhancing people's lives,
yes.
and this is my gift. And you know what? And the truth is when you meet somebody, you know, like I said, anybody can sell them cabinets. So the only prerequisite I have is intuitively we have to connect. We have to like each other. And if there's
right.
not an immediate connection and I've tried, you know, maybe they're better suited to one of my other designers or perhaps mm-hmm. they're not even a good fit for Connecticut Kitchen and
Kitchen.
Bath.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
you can't help everyone.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's
people
right.
have to be open to your assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I pour my heart and soul into a design. And you know what? Nothing's worse than when somebody doesn't appreciate what you've given them. I mean, it's imagine cooking a beautiful meal for somebody that you've slaved mm-hmm. over for an entire day. And then all of a sudden they come home, they take one bite, and they spit it out in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It would just take the wind right
you know,
out of your sails.
You know, it's sad that you use that scenario and it hurt because it's a a few months ago, a dear friend, an amazing woman, and I was talking, and she had that same experience you spoke about done to her, where she slaved over a holiday meal, and her family, they did not appreciate it. And that was the reaction that they gave. And, oh, it hurt just to hear you bring it up. And she said to them, "This is the last meal I'll ever make for you." And I said to her, that was appropriate to say.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's crazy. It's
well, people have
crazy.
To appreciate your gift. If they don't appreciate it, then you're expending unnecessary energy. And, we have an amazing team here at Connecticut Kitchen and Bath. Each of the designers brings their so many strengths, you know, and the thing of it is that we're not territorial, you know. We work as a team, and we fill each other out, you know. Like I said, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and together we put forth, you know, a tremendous amount of effort to, you know, really build that relationship. And I think because of that, you know, we've taken the showroom, which was just probably no more than 1,000 square feet, and we've expanded it to 5,000 square feet with different vignettes.
Wow.
Yeah. And each person, like I said, they all roll up their sleeves. Each person makes cookies in the morning. You know, some people have really great computer skills. Other people are really good on, you know, drawing skills. So we all, like, work together, and, you know, we come in, and it's a really kind of great environment to work in, you know, unlike I've done the corporate
other places. So which day do you all make the oatmeal raisin cookies?
Well, you know what? Usually we do the chocolate chips, but I'll make oatmeal raisin especially for you. I'll put that on my, like, bucket list for you, Daphne.
Oh, my heavens. What a good story. So that previous owner, has he been back to see the transformation?
Well, actually, he's my landlord, and I wouldn't be surprised if he was at the customer appreciation party that evening. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he's pretty amazed because, like I said, you know, several businesses had, you know, tried to make a go of it in this location. But, you know, I mean, we talked a little bit about the double dip recession, and, you know, I take the mindset that that's the opportunity. It's an opportunity to hone your skills and to get better at your craft.
That's right. You know, I was listening to a tape from Simon T. Bailey, the Brilliantaire, and Simon says, we are sitting around in America wallowing about bad recession, and everybody's buying up America around us. So we got to be cautious, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get busy. I am yet to see a recession where millionaires weren't created.
Well, so, and you know, the other thing is, too, it's about community. You know, Danbury in the state of Connecticut has the lowest unemployment rate. So, you know, Danburians are very proud people, and they support local businesses.
That's right, and that's a good thing.
You know, and I say Danburians, you know, Danbury is the hub city for many neighboring towns. And a lot of times they'll be in neighboring towns like New Milford or Ridgefield or, you know, New Fairfield. And people will be like, you know, I'm from New Fairfield, but tell the mayor he's doing a great job. We really appreciate it.
That's right.
So
and
it's really the greater Danbury area.
Support. Yeah, that's when you know the support is there, because I don't think Mark is territorial either, because a lot of times he's in other towns doing, helping other people to do things too. I don't see him as a mayor who is so territorial.
No.
You know, I think he's always adding value to his colleagues around.
I agree.
And that's a great thing to know that. You are in a town, yet you can reach out to a city governance to get some ideas from them about how you can do things on a smaller scale. And that speaks
and partner with
volume.
Them.
Yes, and that speaks volume about his leadership.
No, I mean, I'm really blessed to, you know. And sometimes it's challenging, I'll tell you that, because he's definitely time-challenged and, you know, it can be frustrating in moments, but, you know, I have to say, you know, to be able to gain some insight and some perspective with regards to leadership. You know, having him, you know, be my partner in life has really, really helped me in my business too, because he is a good person. And, you know,
yes,
prior to being mayor, he was a school teacher and educator. And,
yes,
you know, one of the things that really persuaded me to marry him was that when we'd go into the mall, all the young adults who, like, had their swag and, you know, they'd talk in that, like, you know, that kind of young person's lingo, they'd be like, "Yo, Mr. Boughton, how you doing?" You know, like, really, like, loving him.
Yes.
And I said, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, young adults see the true character of people.
Yes,
and
yes,
they know, you know, BS. And I said, he's a good guy. He really is a good guy.
You know, I remember when he was on my my TV show, and he said, "Oh, it's getting scary now because a lot of the kids I taught in school, now they have their own children. So when I see them in the mall, I see them with their families, you know."
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's true, because a lot of them will, you know, he stays connected to everybody. And that's, you know, it goes back to that building those relationships. So many times people will come in here and they said, I know that your Mark's wife, or he's my husband, as I like to say.
That's right. Yeah, I used to say the same thing to the kids when I go to school, Phyllis. They always, "Hey, hi, Gio, Mom." I said, "No, I am Mrs. Clark Hudson, and Gio happens to be my son."
Yeah.
Because I have my own identity. Man, too many women now, their husbands are gone home, and they don't even know how to write a checkbook. Because a lot of women, you give away your power.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can still have an amazing relationship without stripping yourself of your power. Because, you know, we need to have our own identities when it has to do with our children, our spouses, and significant others. Have your own identity. It doesn't take away anything from the other person. But don't be going around under the shadow and identity of someone else. Know who you are. And if you are listening to this broadcast now and you have not taken the time to find yourself, you need to sit down and carve and design on, who am I really? Come up with your own identity so you can stand tall and support any other relationship that you're in. I want to remind people to call in. The chat room is open. The phone lines are open, 646-915-8166. And I'm here with Phyllis Boughton, the owner of Connecticut Kitchen and Bath, and also she is the first lady of the city of Danbury. All right, so you are successful now, Phyllis. You are the first lady of the city of Danbury and a very prominent woman in your own right. However, your journey did not start off smoothly. I mean, you didn't get things handed to you on a golden platter. You know,
no.
What has your journey been like?
Well, I think it's been a journey. It's been a drama, and it's been, looking back at my life, I realize that everything that I did has shaped who I am now. So no time or encounter is ever wasted or experience. So, you know, for example, when I was in high school, well, I could even go back earlier than that. I mean, my family is originally from the Bronx. And when we moved to Mayapak, I mean, Mayapak was a very different community than it is now. I mean, it was like when you were... when you had a name like Phyllis and you had dark hair and you weren't a Susie or a Kathy, people looked at you like they said. I remember being very young and people asked me, "Are you Chinese or are you Indian? What are you?" Like they didn't know how to relate.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a child thinking, I just want to fit in. And I'd go to like the cafeteria and I'd have a meatball sandwich because I'm Italian, of Italian descent, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why can't I have the school lunch like everybody else? Mm. And, you know, so those early experiences really, you know, gave me sensitivity to the different cultures and really, you know, helped give me empathy to some of the struggles of, you know, being in a multicultural community. Because really, at that point in time, and I'm going to say like at the late or the 60s into the 70s, I mean, I was really not the norm, you know. And so, you know, how do you, how does that shape you? Well, it gives you resilience, and it helps you to see the good in people, and it helps you to really have a deep relationship with God as your father.
Because that was the only person who accepted you unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
He had no ulterior motive. Every day he gets up, you are just the same. He doesn't have any ulterior motive for demonstrating his love for you. And, you know, I just affirm what you just said, because these experiences helps you to flex and strengthen your perseverance muscle, your resilience muscles, and your faith muscles.
Oh, definitely. And I remember, like, you know, now this is like we're into the 70s now, and I remember my dad had a pretty esteemed job with, it was a company called Pantry Pride, but he'd worked his way up in the ranks. Mm-hmm. And ironically, my father's family had been very affluent, and then the Depression came, and my grandmother had married, it was supposed to be an arranged marriage, and she married his cousin instead, so they were kind of excommunicated from each of the families. And so they had their own wealth, but, you know, over time, I guess my grandfather was a gambler. I mean, it's a pretty, you know, amazing story. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother was forced to raise four children on her own in the Depression. Mm-hmm. So my father was forced to work at, like, age 13 to support the family and provide, him and his brother. And they did. Mm-hmm. And so now fast forward, he has a family, they leave the Bronx, they go to Mayapak to provide a better life, we have a house. And, you know, this was culture shock for them. But, you know, my dad had a decent job, he was in management for Pantry Pride, and then all of a sudden Pantry Pride goes bankrupt.
Oh, Lord.
So, and now this is the 70s, much like, you know, what we're experiencing now. Mm-hmm. And I remember being a little girl and, you know, being old enough to know what it's like to see the financial strain of your family, you know, and going to a classroom and, you know, the teacher saying, okay, I need everybody to bring a snack because we're going to have a party. But
no, Lord.
You know, your family really doesn't have that money
to bring that snack, and it's not a lot, but you still don't have it.
Right,
you're struggling at home.
Right, and so, you know, I think really, so that's you know, again, that has shaped who I am in terms of having a great amount of perspective, empathy, compassion for the struggles of life.
Mm-hmm.
So and then, you know, we move forward, and, you know, I was very much into my studies because basically...
You know, that was your ticket out of that.
Well, it was my ticket, and also, you know, I really wanted to be invisible in high school because, like I said, I didn't feel like I fit in. I was a friend to everyone but had no real close relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, instead of, you know, taking... a free period, I would take an extra class. So I was a bit of a nerd, but, you know, I really didn't fit in with any one clique, so to speak. But, you know, looking back now, everybody, it seems, liked me. but, you know, I remember going to my guidance counselor at the time, and she, you know, she looked at my grades, and I said, listen, you know, I want to go to college. You know, I'm the first person, you know, my parents didn't go to college, you know, so I really want to go. And she said, I think I want to be a teacher. And she looked at me and she saw my grades and she says, yeah, but you'll never find a job.
Wow.
And I thought, okay. She said, but, you know, your grades are good in the sciences. Why don't you go into nursing? And I said, well, I love helping people, so, you know, that seems like it would be good. And I always, you know, I love the psychology of people and changing their moods. You know, I don't know. I always loved entertaining people and kind of, you know, bringing people's spirits up. I've always enjoyed that. So I went on to nursing school, and, you know, I never really connected, because while I was in nursing school, I worked as an aide, and I experienced, you know, the dysfunction in our healthcare system, and realized that I was just one person in a very broken system. And now, mind you, I'm in my early 20s at this point in time, and I really didn't have the experience or the understanding that you can go in another avenue besides nursing. So I wound up leaving that, and I wound up actually waitressing, which, by the way, I absolutely loved, because it was instant gratification, you know, because I worked at different places, but the one I remember most was Red Lobster. And Red Lobster was a place, it was a corporate place, where they gave you in-service training, you know, once a month. And, it, you know, they gave you the specifics of running a good business. And it was like, okay, you have 5 minutes to get to a table before somebody's going to make a judgment about their experience here. You have, you know, you need to introduce yourself. You need to explain what you want to do for people. And, you know, during that time, I made a lot of money, to be honest with you, because I was young. I loved, you know, I was in shape, because you walked, you know, it was not uncommon for me to do double shifts. But shortly thereafter, while I was working at Red Lobster, we had a house fire. And it was so bad that my family was displaced, and we actually had to move into the Residence Inn. And while I was there, I became friendly with this gentleman who was the general manager at the time. Unbeknownst to me, his family owned a chain of Residence Inns. And he said, you know, Phyllis, you're a really talented, vibrant person. He said, I know you enjoy waitressing. He said, but you should really consider, you know, moving in another direction. You know, I just feel like you have so much more to give, and I think you can apply those talents to something else. Would you consider coming on board and being a general manager for one of the Residence Inns? And at the time, I was like, oh, no, I don't take handouts, you know. Now, as an older woman, I say nobody gives you a free ride in life unless they feel that that you can rise to the occasion. So young people out there, take notice. If somebody gives you an opportunity, open the door. Go in.
That's
so
right.
I said to him, I said, you know, I don't want to do that, but maybe you can help me figure it out. And this goes back to what you said about carving out your life. The first step in carving your life out is just make a list. Strengths and weaknesses.
And a lot of times, a lot of times, you know, the people around us see so much more in us than we are giving ourselves credit for.
Well, and you can actually ask people, like, what do you see in my strengths?
That's right. Move the ego out of the way and ask people.
Right. And a lot of times what you enjoy doing as a young adult, you carry those strengths with you into adulthood. I mean, as a young child, I would, you know, I didn't really necessarily like playing with dolls, but I liked creating outfits for the dolls. I didn't necessarily enjoy, again, playing with dolls. I would make hairdos on the dolls. So if I were doing an assessment of my childhood behavior, I'd say she's very creative. She needs to move into a creative avenue where she can express that creativity. The other thing is that I would say is that, you know, looking at it is, you know, with waitressing, I had the gift to gab. You know, as a young adult, you don't see that as a gift. You're like,
that's right. Everybody telling you to shut up, be quiet, you know.
Right. Right. So you're like, okay, what's my gift? Other people can sing. Other people are great at math. Other people, you know, it's very
different
easy
things.
To see what their strengths are. But when you have the gift to gab, people kind of like, well, you know, how do you apply that to life?
Yeah, she's always talking. Well, duh, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
No, you know.
But the key to talking is you got to have an interest in people and listen
That's
as
right.
well.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right. That's right. Because or else you're just running your mouth and you really don't know what's going on. I was sharing with you last night that sometimes back in my life, I used to be in the company of someone that had a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, oh my heavens, it was such a boring time in that person's presence because they have their format set up a certain way. And they were not flexible to operate outside of that format. And it doesn't matter what was taking place.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you would hand the person. They just didn't know how to work with that.
Right.
And I pray and said, if I was ever in that position, please, Lord, do not allow me to do those things.
Right.
And you know, God is so faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us what we ask for. All we have to do is to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gives us so much more than we would ever ask for. So observe yourself because, you know, it's not really rocket science to know why we were created in life. It's always under our noses. It's that thing that really eggs you the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
It's that thing that keeps you up at night. It's that thing when you're driving and you see it, you touch your brake because it agonizes you so much.
Right.
But the thing, Phyllis, why people are still chasing their shadows is the fact that we don't take the time to be still and to receive the messages. We are
Absolutely.
So busy going.
Yes. No, it's definitely true. I mean, I think, you know, the story I just described to you is like, you know, if you take a moment and think about it and really be still and simmer over it, you realize, you know, hey, that was a pretty rotten thing that happened. And by the way, my sister was getting married, so we had this house fire. Everything was destroyed. We're living in the residence, and but good came out of that. So, you know, people, you know, realize that life is not a flat line. You know, it's full of ups and downs, and there is a lesson in the downs as well as
That's
the ups.
Right. That's right. It,
you know,
it's
and if
valley.
I hadn't met this gentleman, Adam, you know, who knows what the path I would have taken, but, you know, he actually helped me put on paper what I thought my talents were, and I actually did some research, and we found some local companies in the nearby area, sent my resume out to them, and I wound up actually working in our actually quality assurance laboratory for a company called Merle in Peekskill, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And because my vision was I wanted to work in sales, and I wanted to be around people, and I wanted a product that was fashion forward and that I could, you know, travel and see the world. So I kind of created this kind of what people would say vision board, but the vision board was in my head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, applied to this company, and you know what? The first step in the company wasn't glamorous. It wasn't the New York sales office. I wasn't in sales. It was in R&D because my nursing training applied to this kind of quantitative kind of experiment, you know, doing experiments daily. And I remember being in this union shop and, like, you know, people would be like, you can't work through your lunch hour. That's against union rules, you know, but I haven't finished my experiment. Nope, you've got to take your break now.
Wow.
And it didn't build relationships. It was like antagonistic.
Wow.
So I felt that pressure, and I remember, you know, thinking, I'm not going to make it here. There, you know, I'm not doing that well. And I remember my manager, the supervisor at the time for the entire day shift of a Fortune 500 company, took me aside and he said, "Listen, kid. You know, I believe in you. You're a smart kid. You can do whatever you put your mind to." He says, "You just need to breathe, relax, and it'll all work out." Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself, he says, "What I'm going to do is I don't want you working on the floor. I want you working on my experiments."
Beautiful.
So, you know, he took me aside. He believed in me. He pumped me up. And he said, "More importantly, you can do it."
That's right.
And as soon as he said those words, mysteriously, all my experiments were accurate.
That's right, because you found somebody who believed in you.
That's it. And then
Slowly,
you know, when I went back out on the floor, people saw the benefit of teamwork. They saw the benefit of building relationships because we watched out for one another. And those people who weren't necessarily nice to me in the beginning, later really wound up being my biggest cheerleaders because I then moved from quality assurance into R&D, and shortly thereafter, these people encouraged me because they heard about my dream. They said, why don't you write the letter of a letter to the VP of Sales and Marketing explaining who you are, where you want to go in the company, and where you've been. They said, and, you know, let's see where this goes. And with their encouragement, you know, I literally, you know, and actually they helped me craft the letter. You know, because sometimes you just need a boost. So, you know, I guess that would be another key is surround yourself with positive people.
People, that's right.
You know,
like-minded people.
Yeah. And, you know, I sent the letter off, which was scary because who's not afraid of rejection? You know, so I sent the letter off, and within a week, they called me down for an interview. And the following week, they said, you got the job. And so I was offered a job in inside sales where I was responsible for accounts like PPG, DuPont, Revlon, Estee Lauder, all these other, you know, humongous
fabulous companies. Beautiful.
And, you know, my whole job was, you know, inside sales, making sure, you know, people got product and building these relationships. But after about a year, and by the way, footnote here, when I took the job, my mother always said to me, you can do anything you put your mind to. And so I get the job in New York, and she's like, why do you want to work in New York? You know, it's dangerous down there. You know, you could do anything you want to do, but just make sure it's around here. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to New York, you know. And so wound up going into the New York sales office, and it literally cost me money. Because although on paper I was making more money, when you factored in the commute and the other expenses, I actually was making less. But I saw that as an investment in me.
That's right.
Like,
and there were lessons. Lessons
that
you go learn there.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Just take a pin, Phyllis, and just hold that thought.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, and we are here with Phyllis Boughton, the owner of Connecticut Kitchen, and she is sharing her life journey with you. And listen, I want to hear from you guys. I want you to call in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guests 1477 to the show. Let us know if you have any questions. My guest is Phyllis Boughton, the owner of Connecticut Kitchen here in Connecticut, and she's just sharing now her life journey that brought us to that has brought her where she is now. And you want to call in 646-915-8166. And those of you in the chat room, if you just want to type it, your question, I will read it for her. But be sure to ask her something because she has a wealth of information that you have her undivided attention now and you don't want to give that opportunity up. So back to Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Phyllis. So continue. You went into the New York office and all of a sudden, your mom said you could do anything you wanted to do and put your mind to. You wanted to go to the city. That was not too much of a good idea. But you went there and you made wave. You carved out yourself.
But in that position, how many women were in that position?
Actually, I was the first woman in the history of the company to make it into upper-level management. I was just one step below the VP of sales and marketing, and I reported directly to him. So it was a pretty big move, and people were very, very impressed. And actually, all those people who originally gave me a hard time, when I left manufacturing and doing quality assurance testing, I think I must have had a going away party of about 200 people.
Wow.
Yeah, and wow. It was really, you know, an amazing send-off, and it really lifted my spirit and encouraged me to want to aspire to, you know, show them that, you know, they picked the right horse, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
you know?
But, you know, Phyllis, as you look back now on a woman, fairly young woman, in a predominantly male-oriented position, if you may. First woman, first young woman to be in that position. What was that position like for you?
I was, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was tough because I'd go into these boardroom meetings where it was me and about 10 elderly gentlemen. And mind you, I'm in my early 20s at this point, and I'm so altruistic, thinking, oh, okay, we all want to make more money for the company. You know, we all believe in our product. So my role in the company, actually, when I left, or I worked in inside sales for quite some time, for about a year. And then at that point in time, the VP had promised me a new position where I would target the design community at the point of specification.
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't happen fast enough, a new position opened up in international coordinator position. And I said, oh, that'd be fun. I get to travel worldwide. You know, why don't I apply for that?
Mm-hmm.
So I go through all these rounds of interviews. And then finally, you know, after months of what I felt like being strung along,
mm-hmm.
they say, you know, Phyllis, you don't have that job. And I go, and why is that? And they said, well, you don't speak Spanish. And I said,
oh, no.
Well, you knew that from the get-go. So
that's
I was
right.
Furious.
Mm-hmm.
I picked myself up. I knocked on the VP's door. I marched myself in. And I sat down and I said, you know what? I have to have a conversation with you. And he said, mm-hmm. What's wrong? I said, well, I feel like, you know, I've been misled. And he said, why? And, you know, he was a good guy. He was really a mentor and kind of, like, encouraged me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And although I say, you know, those boardrooms were tough, which they were, he always believed in me. And because
yes.
he believed in me,
support
I wanted to do a better job.
Yes.
So he said, he looks at me with a twinkle in his eye, and his name was Fred LaFaso, and
mm-hmm.
He said, Phyllis, you don't have that job, but you got that other job I had promised you a while ago, and I just had to string you along in time to get the approval on it. You got that job. And I looked at him, and I go, I was speechless. Like, I couldn't believe it. And again, it just so shows the divine timing of life.
God is faithful, Phyllis.
Yeah.
And always on time.
Oh, yeah.
Always on time.
And let me tell you, this job was so incredible. I would, because of this job, I actually was involved in a group called Color Marketing Group. And these people would come together twice a year, and you were required to do a storyboard prior to attending.
Mm-hmm.
And we would come together, and we would look at each industry, and together we would meet in small groups and come up with a color story. And then the facilitators, which I wound up being a facilitator, would
mm-hmm.
meet and then come up with one color story for the conference. And then color and design reports were published based on this conference. So it was a very influential group. But I remember sitting there, again in my early 20s, saying, what the heck am I doing here?
Wow.
Like, I'm looking around, and then I'd be in these meetings, and, like, the director of design for Benjamin Moore would say, which we name this color, and I'd come up with a name, or where do you, let's put this, you know, we would put fabrics and different, you know, things that we use for inspiration on our storyboards, and they would look to me for direction, and I'm like, why are they looking at me? Because I didn't realize at that point in time, you're born with your gifts.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, you don't have to go to school. But you know, when you're good at something, people recognize it.
It's,
you know,
inside of you. You're authentically who you are for a reason.
Right.
And little did you know, in those early years, it was setting you up for all those vignettes that you have in that showroom today.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm sure every job that you've been through has helped to mold the Phyllis for today.
Absolutely.
And aren't you glad you stuck it out?
I am. I mean, when I think about that, like when I'm in this room with like 600 prominent designers in me, and at the time, like I just wanted to run out of that room because I didn't feel qualified. But I stuck it out. And then ironically, one day when I wasn't even there, somebody nominated me to be the Northeast Regional Chairperson for the Color Marketing Group.
Wow.
And lo and behold, I received it. And then the next thing I know it, you know, and again, I'm in my early 20s, I'm putting together big productions at the Jacob Javits Center.
Wow.
You know, with no experience and actually, you know, spoke on behalf of color and design theory from the cosmetic society.
You had divine. You had divine experience. You didn't have the world's experience, but you were born with that experience because you didn't have to get the accolades from a company or a school for that. It was inside of you.
Well, I think, you know, some people call it the school of hard knocks.
You look back, Phyllis, and as you look over that particular part of the journey, I don't really think it was hard knocks. Yet you were placed in different positions to demonstrate the skills and talents. But it really wasn't difficult because that was who you are. You knew how to do that.
Well,
even when you were positioned with those people who were quote unquote the experts in the area, you excelled.
I think about it now as an adult, and I say to myself, you know, I think what really allowed me to succeed was the strength of my family, and I do a lot of work to build healthy families in the state of Connecticut with Families Network, because I think that foundation gave me the courage. And I've actually redefined, because I always thought I had a lot of courage, and I think courage I attribute to, you know, doing certain courageous acts. But I think courage, as we get a little bit older, is really the ability to remove the fear of being judged by others.
Mm-hmm.
That, in my opinion, is courage, because
that's right.
That allows you to recognize your greatness. I mean, I had the strength, the inner strength, to reach for the stars because I had that program. You could do anything you want to do. Just, you know, don't go too far, you know, from my mom. And, you know, because of that, I was able to really, you know, achieve some awesome experiences. But, you know, as high as that seems, you know, life had another curveball to give me. I actually hired.
Oh, always.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it did. You know, and I had more responsibility. So they said, you know, we want you to hire an assistant. Well, this assistant went to FIT. She, had a 4.0 at FIT.
Mm.
She was like, you know,
great.
She created a shade of doubt. And all of a sudden, it was like Samson and his hair. You cut the hair, and all of a sudden, he lost his strength. All of a sudden, the courageous Phyllis was getting nervous.
Intimidated by the accolades that presented themselves around her.
That's it.
And that's something when we get discomfortable, when we get uncomfortable in our own skin, regardless of what is happening, because we must focus on our independent strengths and the confidence we have within ourselves, because the least little thing will knock us off the track.
Right.
We must remain faithful to our belief in our own self.
But the other thing, too, is I think you can remain faithful, but, you know, the truth is that not everyone, and it goes back to that power of discernment, is she, you know, she not only did she create shades of doubt, but she created shades of doubt in the people around me. Because one of the things that I like to do is outline what I want to talk about, but I never have a scripted presentation. Because I just kind of speak from my heart.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I know what I'm talking about and I know my subject matter, all I need is an outline. And then people are engaged. Well, what she did is she actually went to the people around me who by that time, you know, were these people who maybe weren't so in love with me because, you know, they'd say certain things couldn't be done with our product, and I'd go to outside companies, their R&D teams, and I'd, you know, encourage them to try using these products and figure out ways for them to implement them. And so, in a way, I was doing good for the company, but making enemies in the process. So, anyway, so she said to them, somehow she planted a seed that Phyllis needs to write her presentations down. And I remember I was speaking to the Society of Cosmetic Chemists with this speech that I had to present to this group of men in advance. And I remember being up there, and it was like a deer in headlights, and I couldn't remember anything. And, like, my voice was cracking, and it just was like I couldn't wait. And you see I have the gift of gab. I mean, couldn't wait for
that's
my...
You're not wired like that, and people don't understand.
No.
That, you know, people don't get it.
No. And so, you know, in my mind, I failed miserably. So I remember thinking, oh, this is horrible. I don't want to be here. And, you know, and so an opportunity presented itself, and a friend who owned an art school out in California actually offered me a job. And we had talked about developing our own line of pearlescent and iridescent pigments, which was what I had expertise in. And
would you break that down for the ordinary folks who don't understand what that means?
Yeah, basically the company I work for produced colorants that went into many different industries, whether it's automotive, whether it's fashion, printing inks for, you know, fashion clothing materials, for automotive finishes, coatings. You know, if you look at a car and it changes color when you're looking at it, those are iridescent pigments. That was the product that lipsticks that have a frosted appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the product that I sold.
My heavens.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah, it does. But I'm sure there's somebody out there asking what that is. Because, you know, I listened to you talk about it, and I listened to you talk about it last night, and it dawned on me that there's not much difference when it comes into R&D, because a lot of research and development that applies to one product can also apply to something else.
Absolutely.
Because color is color.
Right.
And whether it's going to go into paint for a car, as you just eloquently explained, or it's going into glamour for a woman, it's the same thing.
It is.
That's why I asked you to break it down for the ordinary people.
Well, and what's interesting for me is I think back to that nursing background again, and the reason I was so successful in that position is I was able to read information on optics and the way light affects these types of pigments and translate it into a common language so that these other companies like Mattel Toys, like Ford Motor Company, their R&D or industrial designers could break it down, take an interest, and then develop new applications for the product.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's,
you know,
amazing.
To be honest with you, it was a very, very gratifying position to be in. But if I hadn't had that early nursing training, I don't know if I'd have that capability to read really technically dry material and
mm-hmm.
stick with it.
Mm-hmm. You know what just came to mind as I sat here and reflect on what you said about the assistant that you hired? and the outcome of the way she conducted business there. I thought of it and I said, you know, her season there was finished anyhow.
That's it.
And I don't think at that time you realize it. And every day we get up and we hold on to things and relationships and different things. And we have to respect that each thing that comes into our life is for a season and a time. Mm-hmm. And we as a people, we don't know when that season is up. But we just have to respect when something happens and move on and say next and just move on. So she did you,
a favor.
A favor. She
yeah.
did a favor.
It was a blessing.
It was a blessing in disguise.
Definitely.
Know, as you look back. Amazing. Come on, guys. The time is wiring down. Get the phone lines busy. 646-915-8166. We want you to get your 5 cents in on your 25 cents. So call us at 646-915-8166. Everybody is quiet today. They are just absorbing everything. They are just absorbing. And of course, if you're just joining us, my honored guest is Phyllis Boughton, First Lady out of the city of Danbury. And of course, she has her own brand of Connecticut Kitchen and Bath here in Danbury, Connecticut. Again, the number to call to join in this conversation is 646-915-8166. Yes, Phyllis. So you went on that amazing life journey from East Coast to North Coast, from West Coast back to
mm-hmm.
East Coast. And
well,
now you have settled here in East Coast. Yes, you were going to say something.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, like you said, I think that was a really very astute observation, because that experience with this girl was a hidden blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage your viewers, when you think, you know, look for the blessing in every situation.
Oh, yes.
You know, don't judge it. Go through it.
That's
you know,
right.
When an obstacle appears before you, go around it instead of through it.
Yes, and look and see the lesson learned, because there's a lesson there to be learned. And sometimes you don't see it right away. That's why I am such an avid journaler, because you write things down and sometimes you don't get the lesson right there. But trust me, you go back over those pages at another time. It's like reading a book and rereading and rereading each and every time.
Mm-hmm.
That you read it over, you learn a lesson
mm-hmm.
that you didn't see, or you see something you did not see the
well,
last time you read it.
You're saying read a book. Look over your life. Look at it
mm-hmm.
as a book. And look at
That's right.
the hidden benefit in every experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? Look at the hidden benefit. I think when you reflect back, you'll see, wow, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have been here, and this wouldn't have happened, and I wouldn't have my children, or I wouldn't, you know, have gone to this college, or, you know, everything happens for a reason.
A lot of times I am being interviewed, and people ask me if I could do my life over, what I would change. And I honestly wouldn't change anything, because every aspect, every situation in my life, every experience, every relationship, good or bad, has helped to mold me into the masterpiece I am now. And still being molded.
Oh, yeah.
Still being molded. Still being polished. Still being sharpened. Because it's like a wooden floor. After you put that wood floor down and certain years, a lot of trafficking on it, you rebuff that floor again and you polish it over. And it's the same thing with our lives. Once we got to take that old coat off and put some new varnish on it and keep us fresh, especially those of us who are in the service business.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep fresh. You
well,
must
we're all in the
invest.
Service business. That's the
yes.
trick.
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we are all salespeople. I know a lot of people say, oh, I'm not in sales. Yes, you are.
The only way you're not selling is if you lock yourself up in your house and you don't go out. But
that's
you
right.
open that door and you go out, you are selling yourself. You know? You are
yeah,
selling yourself.
You are. Every minute of the day, you're selling yourself.
So, Phyllis, for those people who are listening, regardless of their ages, who have that burning desire inside of them to do something that they are passionate about, what if you could create a checklist for them to get started, what would the checklist look like?
Well, the first thing I would say to them is check your ego at the door.
Mm.
You know, leave that behind. Mm. Second thing I would say is, you know, figure out who is a positive influence in your life. You know, there's probably two or three people that you can, you know, will give you good feedback. You know, start that list. You know, identify your strengths, identify your weaknesses, and then check in with them. Because a lot of people, you know, will see things in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself. But once they bring up that point, it's like a lot of times we will check back with their customers, and they'll say, well, we bought from you for this reason. And I was like, oh, wow, it gave me a new and interesting perspective, because like a lot of people are taken advantage of in today's marketplace. And they said, you guys had so much honesty and integrity, you never hit us with the change order. But that was the expectation. That was the mindset. So having that mindset, the next time I dealt with a customer, I kept that in mind and say, you know what, when this person's reacting in this way, it's because they've been taken advantage of. Have mercy. Have compassion.
That's
you
right.
know, take time to educate them. Hold
mm-hmm.
their hand through the process. Help
mm-hmm.
them to understand. Advocate for their dollars, whether they're, you know, a few dollars or whether it's exorbitant amounts. And, then, you know, I've done, you know, kitchen designs that, you know, are six figures, and I've done things for less than $5,000. But, you know, the key thing is, you know, figure out what your passion is and you know, check in with your friends and relatives and say, you know, what do you see as my strengths? What do you see as my weaknesses? What kind of career avenue do you see me going into? You know, and then just kind of sit with it. And, you know, we talked about it earlier, you know, ask God. Say, you know, listen, I need some help. I really want to feel good about myself every day. Can you give me some ideas? And, you know, mysteriously, the teachers will appear.
When
you know,
the student is ready. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And it's out of places that you never think the teacher would appear.
That's it.
So don't be too busy. Be effective not to be too busy, because we miss a lot of good things when we get so busy.
And
you
take
know?
Action.
Take action.
You know, take small steps. Get involved in a networking group or some other group where you can get support, where other people want to break the corporate, you know, break out of corporate America and start. I mean, the largest growing business segment in terms of small business is women-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, more and more women are, you know, and I'm sorry, men, if I'm, you know.
No, but they know, too. Because there's a lot of stay-at-home fathers now.
Oh, yeah.
And I just applaud that, because they realize that their wives are making greater strides there. And why should they go out there and work for nickel and dime? And they're hiring a babysitter when he can stay home and he can capture everything that's happening in the family and be able to share it with the wife out there. I think that shows strength in the relationship and strength in the men as well. No longer they are saying, oh, that's a woman's job and that. No. So the brothers are with it, Phyllis. So I don't think we have to apologize to them. They get it and they understand.
Oh, well, good. I didn't want to offend anybody, and that's certainly not my intention. And I think that brings up another point, is always clarify. Like, when somebody says something that you're not is not sitting well with you, ask them for clarification.
That's right.
You know, so you say I'm good at this. Why do you say that?
That's
you know,
right.
well, because you did this, this, and this. Oh, yeah. Then you'll have a light bulb moment, you know, and you'll say, yeah, I'm going to give that a try. If somebody says to you when you were little, oh, my goodness, you make the best cookies, you think that's a good indicator that you should, you know, work in a bakery
or something. Look on Famous Amos and his cookies, you know.
Right.
And I was listening to him on Willie Jolly's show the other day, and although he sold the rights of the cookies that he baked, he was going to Washington, D.C., and he was saying, man, I have a batch of the original recipe of those famous cookies. He said, that one I still hold the right for, and he was going and he was baking cookies to take to the show. But we are always good at what we were created to do. And that's why we should not keep comparing ourselves to other. Everybody's looking on the other person's grass and think it's greener. And I tell people, just start fertilize your own. If you start fertilize your grass, it's going to become green too. You know?
And bless other people that have good things.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know. A lot of the blessings that I'm benefiting from now, I know, are all based on the good and kindness and all the love that I did in that sunny island of Jamaica. Because although I didn't have much, I am always listening and encouraging others and supporting others. And even here when I came here and I was living in New York, if it's even a kind word, it doesn't take anything for me to tell somebody have a nice day or you look beautiful today or something or a smile. You know, Phyllis, when I moved from New York to Connecticut, I just didn't get it. I was so excited, and everybody I see, I would say hello to them. And not everybody in Danbury was saying hello to me. They were looking at me like I had a horn in my head or something. And then I remember one lady at the post office on Main Street one day said to me, honey, you must be new in town. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, why? She said, because you always smile, and every time I see you, you say hello to me. And then I realized that the people in New England were kind of different. They were who they were. They were not like the people in New York. But I still continued my demonstration of love and wanting to extend myself to people. And you know what, Phyllis? They began to answer me. They began to answer me. And now some of those same people I see, and they remember me from way back when. But we just need to be persistent and just keep at whatever we are doing, because as we were saying, we have been saying all morning, it's about the relationship, and relationships take time to build.
That's true.
Yes.
I think, you know, building those relationships, it's the foundation. You know, to be true and to, you know, be true to yourself, to always think about the way you respond in certain situations, because, you know, we talked about it last night. Words are like toothpaste. My dad always said that once you squeeze it out, you can't put it back in, right?
Yes.
And those words affect people.
I like what you just said about be true to yourself. To yourself, to your calling, and to your purpose, I will add. Because, you know, too often we are so much focused on concentrating on what others want us to do. And a lot of times our heart and our spirit and our core of authenticity is yelling so loudly, yet we don't listen to that. We tend to always seek the approval of others. And I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. You need mentors, you need confidants, you need inner circle support.
Mm-hmm. However, you need to be cautious that the people that falls into those four categories are people who understand about what you were called to do and can give you solid encouragement and advice and guidance. You know, you cannot look to people who are not about anything and want for them to give you guidance. You don't go to a dentist to fix your shoe.
No. Well, and the other thing, too, is birds of a feather flock together.
Flock together. Show me five of your closest friends, and I can tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You should stay with people that are going to inspire you, who, you know, are going to elevate your thoughts and your being, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're out there.
They're out there and willing to help us.
Definitely.
But the thing that prevents us from getting help a lot of time, and I glad several times this morning you talk about the ego, check it at the door. It's the ego and the pride, and for some people to shame.
Yeah.
Shame from past experiences. But if you learn from them and heal from them, where healing is needed, there's no shame, because our stories, we all have a story, and we should learn how to tell our story and tell it well, because no one can tell your story like you can tell it. And your story, you don't need to have a script to tell it, because somebody wake you up from your deepest slumber, you should be able to tell your story, because your story is who you are. And you'd be surprised to know how many people you can help to unfold what they are about by telling them your story. So don't hold on to your story. Tell it. Tell it and tell it.
I think it's important for especially leaders to share their stories. There's a great book out now. It's called The Noticer by Andy Andrews. But, you know, it talks about how one individual shaped an entire community in a very, very positive way. It's captivating. It's the type of book that it's very easy reading and you can't put down. And it's actually very remarkable, where you wonder, did this really happen? But, you know, the truth of the matter is, in every moment we have a choice. And the choice is whether how we respond to certain situations. And the key is always to keep a good perspective and to try to see things from the other person's point of view. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, you know, there's a greater likelihood that we'll connect with that other person and build that relationship. And when we build relationships, we make a better community.
Yes, and, you know, when we realize that we are not here for our own benefit, and everything we do should impact and serve and influence the lives of others,
mm-hmm.
then you'll understand that we are all servants, and we should do the best in serving those that we were called to serve. And God knows that we don't need no accolades and titles to serve and to do what we're called to do. Just get up, go out there, and do it.
Well, I always tell Mark, you know, I don't know how many terms he's gone on, but it's easily, well, he's always been in public office for 14 and a half years. He was state rep for 2 terms, and then I think this is his fifth mayoral, whatever. It gets crazy after a while. But
yeah.
I always tell them, you know, listen, let's stay grounded, because right now we're the flavor of the week. And it's important for people to understand, we have the same struggles. We have the same, you know, triumphs, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, we're living a life very publicly. But, you know, because you are a leader, you know, we should really have higher standards for ourselves, because people look up to us for, you know.
Guidance.
Yeah, guidance and also inspiration.
You know, Phyllis, that there is a saying that behind every strong man, there is a woman. And this statement that you just made speaks volume to why Mark is the way he is.
He has a wife and a family support behind him, as well as a city and a state. Because, as you rightfully said, he has served on both levels. But, you know, how many spouses can honestly say that to their other spouse? And it is the truth.
It is the truth. I mean, we all, you know, life is not static. It's full of ups and downs. And, you know, situations change.
That's
and
right.
If you're not malleable and you don't adapt to the different situations, then you're going to be in a bad way. And the
exactly.
truth is, bad stuff happens to everyone. Good stuff
That's
happens
right.
to everyone.
To everyone. And you just have to take it and roll with the punches. Because as you rightfully say, in public life, yes, you are the favorite color or flavor for this time. Because, listen, 2 minutes down the road, they can just change like that. So you have to keep abreast of what's going on and know what your values are, and you stand true to those things.
Well, take a moment, and I don't think we do take any time. Like we talked about silence last night, and we talked a little bit about Peace Village, but how many people really reflect on what's important to them and what their values really are?
That's right. Especially as women, we oftentimes, we just keep going, and we don't take time. We think it's a crime if we sit down and not do anything. Men will take some time. A lot of times they fall asleep in front of the TV with the remote control in their hands and all of that stuff. But a woman, she's doing the laundry, she's folding the laundry, she's cooking, she's, oh my God, it's time to go pick Johnny up. Oh, I got to drop Susie at piano. Oh, I got to go shopping. I didn't click the coupon and everything. And a woman is always going. And I ask the question, when do you get time for yourself? Because we as women need to be experiencing rich overflow. So instead of giving from our full cup, we can always give from the overflow. This way we can sustain a healthy self.
Right.
So that we can give to others.
Yeah.
And that's why spirituality is so important, because religion have had us messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to hear loud and clear. It's not about religion. So you need to evaluate yourself, assess where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into a relationship and know that if you are out in Timbuktu and you never see your spiritual leader or religious leader or your minister anymore, your relationship can still bring you out of what you're into.
Yeah.
And Phyllis, oh my gosh, where did the time go? Oh, guess 1877, we are sorry that you're just getting on here. We only have a mere 12 minutes remaining, but if you want to call in, you can still call 646-915-8166. And what a phenomenal ride it was this morning. I want to thank Phyllis for investing in my vision and purpose. And I want you, Phyllis, to just take, we have 11 minutes remaining. I don't know where the time went, Phyllis.
I don't know either.
I want for you to just take this time, take 8 minutes out of this. Take 7 minutes out of this and just use it to summarize what you want to leave the people with, please.
Well, I think, you know, what I'd like to leave the people with is I want you to realize and accept that life is a journey. It's a drama. It's full of ups and downs. And, you know, it's full of experiences, and that once we realize that you're going to have highs and lows, to ride out the storm and look at each situation as a learning experience and say, you know what, everything in life happens for a reason. I don't know what the hidden benefit is now, but I'll know someday, and I'm just going to get through this. It's my turn, you know, whether it's a sickness, whether a loss of job, whatever it is, whatever struggle hits you, realize it's temporary. For what goes down must go up, and what goes up definitely must go down. You know, life is not static. It's definitely something that's meant to be lived. I would encourage everyone to, a lot of what I'm talking about I've learned at, I told you, Peace Village, and also from doing a lot of reading and spiritual work, you know, and all that information in today's day and age is available to you. But, you know, definitely surrounding yourself with other like-minded individuals, other people who want to be the best that they possibly can be. Surround yourself with those types of individuals because, as I mentioned before, birds of a feather flock together. You know, when I was younger and, you know, maybe you did something that wasn't exactly correct and you walked into a room and your mother was there, you knew you were caught because you could feel the energy. You know, be around positive people. Surround yourself with positivity. Have an attitude of gratitude. You know, start every day and end every evening. Think about all the things you have to be grateful for. You know, especially in these recessionary times, it helps keep your mindset pure and positive. And it helps you to focus on what you need to do instead of all the, you know, things that the media and is telling you is happening. I mean, there's opportunity in every moment. It's whether or not you choose to see it as opportunity. I'd also encourage everyone to take some time to reflect. If you're not happy, you know, do an assessment. Say, you know, what makes me happy? What do I love to do? What really don't I enjoy so much? You know, talk to people, talk to friends, relatives, you know, people that you respect, admire, people who have integrity, people who have achieved. Ask them to take a few moments to sit down with you and ask them to tell their story. Everyone loves to, you know, tell their story. And you know what? You'll find in hearing those stories, you'll get encouraged. I mean, Andy Andrews, the author I mentioned who authored The Noticer, he's pretty famous because he writes or integrates into his stories the lives of famous people. If you read autobiographies, you'll see that most of these people that have aspired to greatness, who our society has deemed great, you know, like George Washington Carver, started out with behind the eight ball, had struggles, had issues they had to work through. But you know what? They held true to their course and ultimately achieved great success and recognition. So, you know, figure out what you want to do and go for it. Just do it, like I told you last night on the show. Just do it. You know, take action. You know, take some small steps. And you'll find you're moving in the right direction and you'll build some momentum and you'll see, you know, things will start to change. And I think that would be, I don't know if that was 7 minutes, but. Daphne?
Once you start stretching it, you're not going to go back. You're on, Phyllis. I can still see you. You're still on.
Okay.
So, you know, take action. Begin to stretch yourself, and you're going to find out that the ordinary is not going to be part of who you are anymore. You know, Phyllis, I am just so thankful of you. Guests, 1933, Ted Hodge, thank you guys for joining. I'm going to encourage you to catch the archive and share it to others. This was such a phenomenal segment of the A New Day show. I'm so thankful, Phyllis, that you took the time to invest in
the journey that God has me on. I look forward to getting to know you much more. And I want you to know, my sister, if there's any way that I can add value to what you're doing, I am only a phone call away. Do not hesitate to call on me, because I think God brought us together for a purpose, and He will reveal to us as the time goes on. I look forward to working with you in the future and getting to learn more about you and what you are about. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing God's work and keep just loving on people and keep changing people's lives.
Well, I encourage you. I mean, the Vision Conference, I believe that's going to be a great opportunity for people to come together in communion and, also learn from one another.
Yes.
And, you know, anything I can do to support you in that, I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay, thank you. We'll be reaching out to you. Ooh, what a ride, and I'm just so thankful. And guys, you need to catch it on the archive. It's going to be there. We're going to be tweeting it out to people, and you just share it, and you say download it on your iPhones, and just download it and let people hear this, because people need this conversation. My heavens, it's been 2 hours. Where did the time go? Where did the time go? I'm just so thankful. And as always, I want to encourage you. You heard everything that Phyllis Boughton shared this morning. You heard about her journey with drama and without drama. And you have seen the, my heavens, her website, guys. Her website is www.ctkitchen.com. Oh, my heavens. We get into talking and we did not mention, but go on the site. You'll see her, all the designs and everything that they are doing at Connecticut Kitchen and Bath. Again, www.ctkitchen.com. So check them out. And remember to follow your destiny.
Hallelujah. to my destiny.
My destiny.
I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit? Tell the Lord. Hallelujah. For showing me. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah.